Hey, thanks for that. Welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you, nationally syndicated out of San Francisco and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. It's our pleasure to welcome to the show Stephen Asma. He does a podcast called Chin Wag, along with Paul Giamatti, and they will be here at the Marines Memorial over on Sutter Street on Saturday, 1 to 3:30 p.m., as all part of Sketchfest. Stephen, welcome to the show, and it's interesting. I remember listening to the Fly on the Wall, not to bring up a competitor, but the Fly on the Wall podcast with Dana Carvey and David Spade, and Paul introduced it, and Dana could not. He thought it was an Asian word. He kept saying Shin Wei, Shin Hua. It's chin wag, like they say in England when two ladies have a chin wag. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah, thank you, Rick. Thanks for having me on. Chin wag is very commonly known in England. I think a lot of Americans now know it, too. Yeah, it just means a chat. Like, you know, when you're having a chit-chat, drinking at the pub with your friends, your chin is wagging. It's a classic British phrase. Not a Chinese or Asian phrase, just good old English.
And I guess breaking news, your partner got nominated for an Academy Award this morning, huh?
Yeah, I'm very, very happy, very proud of him. He's a very humble guy and modest, so he'll probably be annoyed if I sing his praises. But, I think he deserves it, and he's a phenomenal actor, a great artist.
Well, now, speaking of Asia, when you were a Fulbright scholar, you were in Beijing, you were in Phnom Penh, you were in Shanghai, and then lecturing at Harvard, Oxford, Brown, I mean, you name it. When did you become quite the superstar academician, Stephen?
You've done your homework. Yeah, I sound like international man of mystery. It doesn't seem that way. To me, it's just one thing slowly after another. And I got interested in Asia. My area of focus is in philosophy, and so I was really interested in, I kind of grew up like a lot of people my age, you know, listening to the Beatles and watching Star Wars and learning about the Force. And then I found out, oh, this stuff has references to actual Eastern philosophy. And then I started to study it, and eventually I got the chance to go to China and spent a while living in Cambodia, which is a remarkable place, just beautiful but tragic, you know, tragic history there, but really resilient. And then that got me, one opportunity after another. And so I've just been churning out books and enjoying it, and then trying not to take myself too seriously because I know philosophers have a bad rap. But then I met Paul, and we ended up having a series of crazy conversations, and that's what led eventually to the podcast.
I think we should just talk the rest of the show about Pol Pot and the Khmer Rouge. I think that the listeners...
Let's go. That'll drive up your ratings.
There's one place that you've lectured I want to ask you about, because as a Danish-American, I've been to Aarhus and Jylland, and they got a great Viking museum there.
Yeah.
What was it like doing a little talk over there?
That's great. I didn't realize you'd been there. It's a wonderful place, and I know a bunch of folks there that... they study what they call recreational horror. So they study people when they go into haunted houses, or they go see like horror movies, like, you know, slasher films. They'll wire you up with electronic, you know, electrodes. They'll take your pulse, your galvanic responses, and see what are you most afraid of? Why are you afraid? It's really fun, the research they're doing over there. So I gave a talk there, and I still have really good friends there that do work on like, why is Stephen King such a great writer? And they try to figure out why does like horror movies and novels and stuff, why does it sort of tickle these old, you know, evolved fear responses, sort of like a roller coaster ride or jumping out of an airplane or something. So there's great fun stuff going on at Aarhus.
That is cool. Yeah. Why is being scared titillating? You know, it is an interesting bit of study there. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a few different theories. Some real simple, like you've got this equipment that is supposed to be, you know, adrenaline based, so you run away from lions and crocodiles, but you live mostly sitting at your desk or, you know, at a computer, and every once in a while you want to activate that old equipment that you have, and so that's part of it. That's one theory.
Very interesting. We're speaking with Stephen Asma, part of Chin Wag, which will be Saturday 1 to 3:30 p.m. at the Marines Memorial. And I know some comedians say I can't be funny when it's daytime outside, but this is funny and cerebral, isn't it?
Yeah, it's both. I mean, I would say less cerebral, more funny. and we can do it during the day, but obviously evening comedy seems to be more natural. And plus, it feels like you should tip a few drinks, but, you know, that's not going to be happening on Saturday. But I'm used to sort of trying to improvise and find some humor during the day, because as a professor, you got to do that. I mean, comedians, of course, are great improvisers, but all your professors were really good improvisers, too. Let's not forget that.
So when you tell people you're at Columbia College, they go, oh, I love Manhattan. And you're like, no, I'm in Chicago.
No, the other Columbia College. Yeah, we have some good, we don't have that kind of reputation, but we are very closely tied to Hollywood and to like Second City improv there. We have like comedy classes with the Second City people, and you know, that's where John Belushi and Aykroyd and those people got going. So our college actually has courses that happen at the Second City Comedy Club. And but yeah, we're not that Columbia from New York. We're the other one in Chicago.
Yeah, outstanding alumni coming from Second City. And speaking of comedians, I mean, Paul's an actor and you're a professor. You're bringing in Chris Gethard. He's a veteran.
Yeah, he's awesome. He's got a remarkable sort of resume, and I've been listening to a lot of his podcasts, which is phenomenal, Beautiful Anonymous, and he's a great comedian, but also, you know, he's also going into some deep waters when he can, and he's, you know, he's got like the full package of cerebral and bizarre, so we're hoping to really sort of find some strange stuff about the Bay Area, and maybe even like the sort of paranormal stuff surrounding Mount Shasta. We're going to talk about that and just have fun, really. We're just going to goof around.
It's so interesting you said that, because I was just talking about Jason Sehorn, who went to Mount Shasta College. See, this is all connected, isn't it?
Oh, it is all connected. See how the force brings it all together.
Wow. You know, Paul Giamatti, it's funny because we have a film critic here, Jan Wall, I've worked with, and she had no idea about Bartlett Giamatti. And as a sports fan, of course, I know who he was at the time.
Sure.
Does he talk about his, because you talk about a professor. I mean, he was president of Yale, I believe.
Yeah.
Do you get into the weeds with all that?
Yeah, I mean, we talk about it every now and then on the podcast. It comes up. I think he, you know, this part that he just played in this film, The Holdovers, is really a professor at a boarding school, and he was able to sort of use his own background with his father growing up. He didn't have exactly that kind of background, but you know, he lived in an academic family. I believe his grandfather was also an academic, and I think there was an expectation of Paul that he might be a professor. And he studied for a while and even thought about getting his PhD, I think, in English literature. So there's a lot of connection that he has through his dad to academia. And I think when we talk mostly about his dad, it's about his dad was like a professor of medieval studies and less about the baseball stuff. But Paul was obviously very much, you know, aware of what was going on there. And you know, I think he's, you know, would go to games with his dad and that kind of thing. But his dad died fairly young, so Paul was pretty young when his dad died.
Yeah, and I would imagine you two together, I mean, no one could have predicted it. I mean, I don't, as you say, Giamatti seems more reserved, and, you know, we know him as Pig Vomit or the guy from Sideways, you know, Miles. He's just so irascible, but, you know, he's more of a private guy, and you know, you seem pretty private as well. So, as you said, you started talking. What was the impetus of, let's do a podcast, or did someone say you two would do a great podcast?
Yeah, it was funny. It was during the COVID lockdown. Well, that wasn't funny, but this is how we met. Was I was giving a lecture, and you could you know, in those during those terrible years, you know, if you were a professor, you could give a lecture, and it would be people would tune in, you know, internationally because nobody had anything else to do. So I was given a lecture through a New York group called Mormon Anatomy, and there was an audience of maybe 100 people watching the lecture. And then afterwards, I got an email from this guy calling himself Paul Giamatti and saying the lecture was about the imagination. And he said, you know, I think a lot about the imagination, and there's some sort of cool stuff you were saying, and what have you thought about this? And then we were talking a little bit back and forth about monsters. And I actually didn't know. I didn't actually think it was the real Paul Giamatti, because I thought, how random is that? This is so bizarre. I thought, oh, this is my students winding me up, or, you know, just somebody with the same name. And then I think my son was like, you know, that might actually be the actor, Paul Giamatti. And then he and I started, you know, writing back and forth. And then we started having these long Zoom conversations during the COVID lockdowns, where we would talk for like 3 hours about books and science and Bigfoot and UFOs and just whatever was on our minds. And after doing that for like a year, you know, one of us was like, oh, you know what, maybe we should turn this into a podcast. And then it slowly developed. So it's all started about 3 or 4 years ago, I would say.
And then finally, if you go to your YouTube page, you guys put, or someone you hire, I'm going to say you, but someone you hire puts a lot of effort into how it looks and when you have a guest, and it's, you know, cartoony and, yes, and quirky. It's interesting.
Yeah, this guy, he's an old student of mine, and he's a genius, Alex Sokol, and he's a friend. So we got him involved. Paul and I are huge animation fans. We just love that wacky, you know, whether it's stuff from like Looney Tunes or the old Tex Avery stuff or whatever, or even the black and white animation. And so we got this friend of ours to do these crazy animations. When you see it, it's like, what the hell is going on? It's crazy. There's so much stuff. But I do encourage people to look at the YouTube or Instagram, because there's always some fun visual component to the conversations. And, you know, it's like Tom Hanks is there, you know, or, you know, we had, who do we just have? Ken Burns. Mm-hmm. And they'll put their heads on top of some crazy animal running around. So it's chaos. It's really great.
You can see the chaos yourself Saturday live with Paul Giamatti and our guest Stephen Asma, along with Chris Gethard. That'll be at the Marines Memorial Theater up on Sutter, part of Sketchfest. Get your tickets at sketchfest.com, and it's Saturday, 1 to 3:30 p.m. Stephen, good talking to you, man. Have fun while you're in town, and let's do it again soon.
Thank you, Rick. It was really fun. Take care now.